Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the first day of September now, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's kick things off today, appropriately enough, with today's Whopper du jour, the Whopper of the day, the biggest lie in, well, hours at least, from almost certainly now, because he even stole the office itself, the biggest liar in the history of the once free American Republic. Now, pretty much communist banana republic, working its way towards the Fourth Reich. Oh yeah, and it's certainly a good introduction to the rest of the news today as well. This comes from a propaganda event at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, about why you slaves don't deserve nor need to keep and bear arms anymore, because Big Brother is the only one that's allowed to do that. You have to have integrity like the IRS and FBI. So here's the clip. Brace yourself. It comes hard and fast and doesn't get any better if you listen to it twice.
Do you realize the bullet out of an AR-15 travels five times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun?
Did you realize that the lies that come out of this idiot's mouth are five times as stupid as anything ever said before by anybody pretending to be president? And can you believe the people pushing this crap and not even batting an eye at this dare to want to fact check you? From there, let's move on to what once upon a time would have been the clear, hands-down winner for Whopper of the Day out of the People's Republic of California, where, just a couple of days back, Big Brother K.A. says, "We will outlaw any internal combustion engines. You peons will not be able to have cars or trucks mit dos either." Oh yeah, that was going to be way out in 2035 anyway, so nobody paid any attention to it. Besides, everybody realizes there won't be any gas, diesel, or electricity by then, so you won't have to worry about it. Remember when people used to say, hey, we should license guns just like we license cars? And furthermore, if they can take your guns away, they can take your cars? Well, here you go. But that's hardly what makes this story worth doing today. Just days, says Zero Hedge's summary, after phasing out new gas and diesel-powered cars, the People's Republic of California says, ooh, we're going to force you to have EVs, but no, you're not going to be allowed to charge those, and we're not waiting until 2035. How about you can't charge them now, through next week sometime? And maybe longer, but who knows? And even the oh-so-PC Daily Mail sees the idiocy in this one. Their headline says, California goes haywire. Electric car owners, those wokesters who've already signed up for their virtue-signaling merit badges, are told not to charge their vehicles because, well, it's hot out there. Just days after announcing that 2035 ban on gas-powered cars. They're also being told to set their thermostats to 78 degrees or higher, avoid using large appliances, and turn off the lights. And how's that for an appropriate metaphor? And you gotta love this. Down in the bullet points, it says, officials have not said yet how they plan to deal with an overwhelmed power grid. Yeah, and that's an already overwhelmed power grid as more electric vehicles hit the roads and the charging ports. We'll worry about those problems after we've mandated them. Well, okay, says the story, just after 6 p.m. Eastern Time, as Californians began to head home for the day, the California Independent System Operator issued a Level 1 energy emergency alert shortly after tapping all of its available power supplies, those that they hadn't already shut down because of, you know, green communist idiocy. Despite earlier warnings to reduce usage, though, Californians and all their self-righteous virtues, says Tyler Durden, decided to go ahead and charge their EV anyway, pushing system demand well above capacity. Now, there's a certain other irony in here, folks, that your cynical host just has to point out. You know that an EV won't go very far on a charge anyway, but if you run the air conditioner in there, woo, you may not make it home at all. And who in California would have ever thought ahead? Well, period, I guess, but especially that it might get hot. So here's the runner-up for stupid quote of the day. Now, at least this one's not a lie. It may not be the complete truth, but I'll help fill that in just a second. Said California Fuhrer Gavin Newsom, quote, "It's pretty clear Mother Nature has outrun us. The reality is we're living in an age of extremes. Extreme heat, extreme drought, and yeah, folks, extreme idiocy." And don't forget for a second, these are the people that think they know how to run your life better than you do. And if you don't like it, after they take your guns, they may just kill you. And I do have to ask this again, given what we're seeing here. Do you really think they're ever going to let you have an electric car in the future? Or, for that matter, even if you did, that they'd let you charge it? All right, on to some more serious stuff. Not that destroying the entire economy and your future isn't serious, but this is perhaps even more immediate. After two prior episodes in just as many consecutive days, which saw Taiwan military outposts on outlying islands fire warning shots against intruding and unidentified CCP drones, a fresh incident Thursday resulted in an unidentified drone being shot down near the Chinese mainland. Said Taiwan's defense ministry, an unidentified, they say, civilian aerial camera, yeah sure, was found to enter the airspace over the restricted waters of Shiyu Island, so they blew it out of the sky. And all of this, says the coverage, is likely part of a stepped-up Chinese harassment and pressure campaign against Taiwan since they were given the green light by Nutcase Nancy's visit a while back. Still, though, this looks like another great leap forward. It was unprecedented, and you knew there was going to be more, didn't you? Just about 8 a.m. Eastern time, the Daily Mail says China has now sent 14 fighter jets across the Taiwan Strait median line in yet another show of force against Taipei after the shooting down of one of their drones. Which brings us to one more story on the Great Deception front today. There was a special election in Alaska to see who would replace Republican Representative Don Young in Congress. Sarah Palin, you might have heard the name, was the odds-on favorite. Especially, you might think, in a year when people seem to have had enough of communist criminality and fraud. But just maybe a message has been telegraphed to all Americans about what to look forward to in the coming rigged fall election season. After what are called ranked choice voting and mail-in ballots, there's one we've heard before, were implemented by referendum back in the fateful year of 2020. So, for the first time in 50 years in what's called a solid Republican district in Alaska, a Democrat, Mary Peltola, at least so we're told, won the election. Yeah, do you believe that? Well, it's a day for it, isn't it? And yes, who could have thought it? Answer, anybody that realized if you don't fix the problem, it just keeps getting worse. You'd have thought this would be obvious, but I guess I need to say it again. You're just not going to outvote criminals. Because it fits here, I'm going to follow that up with a quick story from Newt Gingrich, courtesy of an interview in Fox News, where the former Speaker of the House said that Republicans are particularly well-positioned, he believes, to regain control of the Senate in what he called a mass repudiation of the fake President Joe Biden and the Democrats' policies. The media, though, at best is misunderstanding and at worst, he said, deliberately distorting the evidence on that score. For starters, he said it's a midterm in a new president's term. History tells us these elections almost always cut against the president's party. Add to this that 74% of Americans think that the country is headed in the wrong direction. So you gotta ask, how blind are the other quarter? Thanks to out-of-control spending, 40-year high inflation, rising prices, surging violence, an unpoliced border, and a host of lesser crimes. And notice, folks, he left out the really big crimes like the criminal police state itself. And not only that, but the Democrat-led, I would say outright communist Congress, has a 79% disapproval rating, according to Statista. And there's more, but let's set all of that aside for a minute, says Gingrich. He notes that the left-wing media is pointing to a recent election in New York's 19th congressional district as a bellwether for what they want to see happen in November, with Democrat Paul Ryan eking out a slim, barely 2% win over Republican Mark Molinaro. And to claim that this represents some kind of momentum, says Gingrich, is either, quote, ignorant or dishonest, because the 9th district in New York is reliably leftist. In rigged 2020, the Democrat candidate won by almost 12%. In short, says Gingrich, Ryan's win was actually a terrible showing for a Democrat who should have won by far more, saying that that mere 2% win should make Democrats nervous, not confident. And here's where I'll part company with him, folks, because he completely fails to address the elephant in the room. What American that's been paying any attention at all has any faith whatsoever that these elections, sick, are even remotely honest? And you know, folks, that there's no such thing as evidence anymore, much less being able to prove fraud in a land where fraud writ large is literally controlling the narrative. But I have a strong suspicion that the Republican actually won, and probably won reasonably big, but just not enough reasonably big to overcome the fraud. And so it looked like a just barely sufficient narrow win for the team that controls the machines that count the votes. But that, too, tells you what's really coming. Because they control the machine that calls you an election denier, too, if you can see the obvious. I really do have to wonder, because I think it's getting harder and harder to deny, just how many people out there are really still swallowing the BS. As a matter of fact, as we've been talking about for some time now, if you believe some BS, it may even get you killed. Here's a piece from Steve Kirsch, a semi-reformed liberal who seems to truly be coming on board when it comes to realizing they really do intend to kill you. Vaccines, he writes, are taking an average of 5 months to kill people. And as an engineer, folks, that really resonates with your host. If it takes 5 hours or even 5 days, people shortly begin to figure that out. But when it takes longer, as Solomon himself observed in Ecclesiastes 8:11, people just don't seem to be able to connect cause and effect, says the executive summary here. The CDC, writes Steve Kirsch, has been hiding the Social Security Administration death master file, but I got it from a whistleblower, and the data shows that deaths are taking about 5 months from the poison poke to final flatline. And that explains why it's a bit hard for some, especially the terminally addled, to see. We've always assumed, he writes, that the vaccine kills you quickly, maybe in the first couple of weeks, because that's when people notice the association, and then maybe report 1% of them or so to VAERS. This is still true. It does kill some people quickly. However, thanks now to an HHS whistleblower, we can clearly see that most of the deaths from the not vaccine are happening an average of about 5 months from the last dose. And that's the key word, last. But this explains why life insurance companies got off the charts all cause mortality peaks for people under age 60 in the third and fourth quarters last year, rather than right after the shots rolled out. The 5-month delay is also consistent with death reports where people are developing aggressive new cancers that are killing them over a 4 to 6 month period. And the 5-month delay was also confirmed using only the European data. That analysis was posted, he says, back on August 11th, but I learned about that after I wrote this post. So, when you hear about deaths from stroke, cardiac arrest, heart attack, cancer, and suicide that's happening sometime around 5 months after vaccination, it very well could be a vaccine-related death. This next item is a piece from T.L. Davis via his Substack on a subject that yours truly has been thinking about and talking about occasionally for at least several weeks now, if not longer. How much will Americans put up with? Just how stupid do people have to be to keep believing the lies we're being told? In short, as he puts it, is there some kind of comeuppance in the works? The story is entitled A Sinking Ship, and it says the forces aligning themselves for that, some form of comeuppance, some form of reckoning, are becoming visible, if not eliminated clearly yet. The FBI, he says, and he's not alone in thinking this, has lost almost all of its cachet, gained largely through propaganda, like the old TV show with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. The Randy Weaver incident didn't do it, even when it was widely known that Vicki Weaver was shot by an FBI sniper, you know the name, Lon Horiuchi, while holding her baby in the doorway to Weaver's cabin. And the massive inferno at Waco didn't do it either, though both incidents reframed the agency in many people's minds. And by the way, that would include yours truly, folks. The involvement in dope smuggling, along with other federal agencies, didn't do it either. Their roles in covering for the Clinton crime family didn't do it, even right up to the absurd claim by Comey that there was no intent, and since she was too stupid to really be Secretary of State and know that she was mishandling classified material, or even who she was selling it to, there is no crime. How does one destroy tens of devices and tens of thousands of pieces of email unintentionally, especially if the FBI is helping you? Their involvement in straw man purchases during Fast and Furious didn't do it. Nothing seemed to touch the FBI until, says T.L. Davis, their raid on Mar-a-Lago. But none of this took place in a vacuum. They've been whittling away at their own once sterling credibility for decades and decades, or at least so it seems. The question then is, were they ever really what the propaganda suggested? Was the clean, neat appearance and professional demeanor just a way of putting the J. Edgar Hoover era behind them when they were used as thugs to blackmail and threaten civil rights activists and keep tabs on celebrities and politicians for Hoover's operation? Or was that just cover for the operation? Are we seeing a real change in the agency, or have they finally just committed enough crimes being used by enough Democrat politicians as a Stasi police force that their excuses and feigned indignance at having their motives question has finally worn too thin even to provide concealment? He goes on to talk about the questioning by Florida Representative Matt Gaetz of the head of the National Security Division, SIC, of the FBI. And it's also the Representative James Comer of Kentucky announcement that there are dozens of whistleblowers, too, now approaching Congress willing to testify against the Border Patrol, FBI, and other federal agencies. Oh, yeah, and it's the fact that A.G. Merrick Garland, one of the scummiest scumbags in the entire swamp, folks, felt the need to issue the demand that agents not talk to Congress, himself violating the Whistleblower Protection Act of 1989, that seems to be bringing all of this to a head. At issue are the raids, not just against President Donald Trump, but also Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Political adversaries of the Democrats, no doubt, he says, but does that make them also enemies of the Department of Just Us? Well, if they're looking for the truth, I think that answers itself. Yeah, that's the implication, says T.L. Davis. And the nonstop defense of the Biden crime family, along with child sex traffickers and offenders like those booking passage on the Lolita Express, none of whom have ever been indicted, in spite of the now well-known accusations, that kind of helps to bring all of this to a head. It does take a lot to destroy a good reputation, maybe not quite as much to destroy a disgusting one, dating back at least as far as the assassination of a sitting president and the subsequent half-century cover-up, especially in a land where the press has been lying to us for, we're beginning to realize, a lot longer than we thought. It's amazing it's even come out at all. So they had to blow it big time here, I think, to bring this to pass. There are a lot of excuses, says Davis, to go along with it. I was just doing my job. I was only following orders. I'm not going to risk my pension on it. It wasn't me. It must be somebody else. Yeah, it was that president before me. All of this is the fallacy of the good cop theory, because if there actually were good cops, why would there be any bad ones? And that's a great point. Wouldn't the good cops arrest the bad ones? Well, no, folks. There's a thin blue line there, and they're a lot more willing to kill an innocent civilian than allow any cop to ever be found guilty of anything, it would seem. Have you watched any TV shows lately? You can kill all the civilians you want, but if you dare to think you could kill a cop, woo! TV will tell you what you're going to deserve. And hint, you're not going to live to the end of the episode. Was the raid on Mar-a-Lago, says Davis, the straw that finally broke the camel's or the FBI's back? Did it turn bad cops into whistleblowers to get ahead of the midterm elections that will likely, if not outright stolen at least, put Republicans back in charge of oversight of these criminal agencies, and when you raid the houses of U.S. representatives that are likely to head some of those committees and investigations, does it finally dawn on some of the rank and file that their actions just might be called what they are, treason, or at least criminal harassment, blackmail, or, let's call it what it is, terrorism? I don't know about you, says Davis, but an early morning raid by black-clad, gun-slinging feds does sound like terrorism to me. If they don't have the goods, they don't have probable or even sufficient cause, or much less an ongoing investigation. Now, they have the word investigation in their name, but we know they haven't actually investigated real crime. Instigation is more like it for quite a while. Just checking to see that you're not violating some obscure law here or there? Well, at the very least, says Davis, what we're talking about is intimidation. The next question is, for what purpose? Why would the average FBI agent take part in something where there's only a slight wink, wink, nudge, nudge justification? And how would they feel about it if forced to take up that role as a political intimidation squad? I mean, the cat's pretty well out of the bag by now. Are the whistleblowers actually trying to do the right thing, or are they just trying to get out ahead of the witch hunt? Because all of those excuses listed above don't work if we still lived in a real rule of law society. And he's right. The rule of law has been dead for some time. It's so far gone now that even a Merrick Garland, who kind of makes me long for Don Corleone as an honest guy by comparison, can get away with not even pretending that the law means squat anymore. Well, says T.L. Davis, let's not get too excited here, because there were, remember, whistleblowers during Fast and Furious. Nothing came of that. Eric Holder was actually held in criminal contempt of Congress. And not only didn't he suffer for it, he got a really great cushy follow-on bribe, or position. Hey, I just heard this the other day. Anybody know what happened to the evil, crooked FBI, CIA, who knows, double agent, scumbag Peter Strzok ended up? After being publicly exposed and supposedly humiliated, but I don't think he has any shame for what he is. Answer, he got the usual book bribe, or a deal, and then a gig with MSNBC, which clearly has no shame either. But on the other hand, if you're a Steve Bannon or a Peter Navarro or a Roger Stone, you know, anybody that's not exactly far left, The raid might not only be ugly, it'll be live on CNN. The word double standard certainly seems to have lost any meaning. But at least, says T.L. Davis, there are other instances of crack showing up in the communist globalist armor, in that now the CDC has had to own up to botching, to put it mildly, the reaction to the COVID-19 84 pandemic, i.e. they lied, they falsified data, they gave not only harmful but downright deadly advice, they allowed thousands of people to die instead of taking logical and well-known cures in the form of hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and others. Burks admitted to padding statistics to scare the public into blind, masked obedience. The most evil man on the planet, Tony Fauci, has now distanced himself from the very recommendations he made, hey, who's surprised by that, and the use of his influence to encourage enforcement at all costs of ridiculous and contradictory mandates. And some of those mandates still remain in effect, even though they've been obliterated by truth, facts, and actual science. The vaccine, says Davis, is now recognized as far more harmful to men under 40 than COVID itself, and that's been long known and professed on this blog, he says, and others. In fact, so many people, including this fellow, your host, and who knows how many others, have warned that the poison poke, the Cyclone B, is what it is, as he puts it, a death jab. Even the very idea that one has to wait for the Center for Death and Control to confess before doing what's reasonable, logical, and obvious, and refusing to be a guinea pig for an experimental gene mod for which the manufacturer has no liability whatsoever, is clearly insane. So the bottom line is that the communist, globalist, green, environmental, fascist, anti-reality ship might not be sinking, but at the very least, it's taken on a lot of water. The lies can't be issued fast enough to keep it afloat, and even while there are still millions infected by the desire to remain enslaved, the Stockholm syndrome of socialist winter is coming, and hell's coming along with it. Pervasive government corruption across the entire Western world is now at a critical point, says T.L. Davis, where they either have to impose enhanced draconian lockdowns, and along with it, martial law, whether they call it that outright this time or not, your host hastens to add, or they face violent revolution. And obviously, they're planning on that, and they're intending to put it down with extreme prejudice. In America, he says, we might be witnessing the absolute collapse of 100 years of communist expansion, even though they called it progressive 100 years ago. The left overplayed its hand, nearly got there. They were on the tipping point, but if the trend continues, and any one thing is even reversed, if justice prevails in even one of the major issues of the day, like, for example, the FBI is exposed as being used against political rivals, or the poison Zyklon B poke, a.k.a. death jab, is validated as being even remotely as harmful as it actually is, or if someone somewhere is actually prosecuted, the whole push might just fall flat. The rats might abandon the ship to save themselves, or to try to save themselves, because turning state's evidence, I guess, beats hanging from the end of a rope until you are you-know-what, you-know-what, you-know-what. All of this doesn't relieve any of the injustices that occurred before the pandemic, before the stolen election, before there was Randy Weaver and Waco. But still, momentum toward correction can go a long way if it's pushed hard to get to the roots of all of it. Maybe. But maybe they'll instigate a civil war to save themselves, sensing, he says, as I do, that they're losing on a number of fronts. At least, maybe it'll all end up being out there. People will know what they're fighting for and who is not on their side. And honestly, folks, I'd say that's a fairly optimistic way to put it. I do tend to think what they're going to do is double down. Okay, quintuple down at this point. After all, they've already more than demonstrated they're perfectly willing to kill not just a few reporters and whistleblowers, but hundreds of millions of people, so why not? Concludes T.L. Davis, I'm constantly intrigued by the sight of group insanity. Just what does it take, he wonders, what finally must be suffered before the darkness in that vacant stare of obedience is replaced by even an inkling of inquisitive light? So like I said, folks, that's a question I've been pondering for quite a while. What's it going to take for people that basically have been clueless for so long to wake up? Or will they? Will they ever figure it out? Honestly, I tend to think that the lesson of Scripture is they won't. Only a remnant will ever see it. Many will die shaking their fist at God. But the key, the real key, is to understand that the Bible uses a particular word to describe those who do make it. Overcomers. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.